A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lopotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes, and welcome back everybody. Been doing a lot of movies and stuff lately with, you know, the different holidays we've had recently, so thought we're going to switch things up a little bit this time again, and we're going to be talking about ghost stories from Gettysburg.
I'm so glad we're back to hauntings.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hauntings are fun.
Yeah, hauntings are
fun. It, like, made me, like, reading about it made me want to revisit Gettysburg because I've been there, but not for a long time.
Not for a long time. Kyle, have you ever been there?
Yeah, I think I've been there twice. We went there for school when I was in eighth grade.
And no, that sucks.
Like, yeah, that was...
That's when I went.
Oh, really? That's when you went, too?
That's when I went. It was, like, an eighth grade trip. But I remember it. I was telling him off mic that I don't so much remember. There's a lot I don't remember, but the one thing I do remember is, like, the feeling of, like, the heaviness of being there.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Like, it's just heavy.
I vividly remember that too.
Especially when you're out, like, walking around in the battlefield and stuff like that. Like, it's ridiculous.
It is. It is really something. Yeah. Like, it's very somber. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
like I said,
I'd awesome.
Love to go back. Like, I mean, it's some bloodiest battle.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I think I've been there twice.
Yeah.
Like, I think I went there when I was, like, in sixth grade, and then I think the second time I went was with school.
Okay.
Because I'm fairly certain that's when I remembered, like, I remember this, and
okay.
I wish I was a little older. I'd like to go back there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, as I'm older.
Just do whatever the hell I want.
It's a good time because, you know? The last time I was there was probably like 2-3 years ago, maybe. So it was like fairly recent, you know. And I mean, yeah, it was a cool spot. Like, you know, if you dig, you know, war stuff or ghost stuff, it's definitely a good place to check out.
I would love to see both. I would love to go ghost hunting, but I would also love to see a battle reenactment.
Yeah.
I would think that's so cool.
That would be interesting. I would see that. I mean, I wouldn't want to participate. Those people that do it are just like, they're committed.
They're serious.
I mean, they're wearing the wool outfits in July.
But I would love to watch it. I'd love to be a spectator.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never actually watched one. But like I've seen them, like, walking around, like, in the shit, like, and everything like that. I remember one time I saw a bunch of them, and it was in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh my
so,
god!
So, like, they had to be roasting in that shit.
Seriously,
it's ridiculous.
God, I couldn't think of just, like, give them a cotton, like, breathable uniform, like a winter jacket.
That's not what they wore back then. You want to be legitimate or not, like? You know, anything worth doing is worth doing.
Then, like, not the reenactors, but, like, the actual the army soldier. Like, it's not armor.
I mean, it's better than nothing, I guess. I mean, it doesn't really matter, because if you get hit, they're just going to cut it off anyway, so.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the fucking point? I could have been a doctor back then. Like, that's how shitty the doctors were. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we need
whiskey on this
stat.
Bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, whiskey stat while I cut your arm off.
That's
here, why don't you bite down on this stick? That sounds like a good idea.
That's where the term bite the bullet came from.
Yeah, because they would bite on the fucking bullet.
I think it was Civil
while
they
were fucking...
like, here, put this in your mouth. I'm going to start sawing off your leg.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to just keep looking up, you know?
Yeah. It only grazed me.
Yeah, it's gotta
it
go.
It only grazed me.
It's gotta come off. You gotta get rid of it.
I'm literally still walking on it.
I can walk on it. That foot's gotta go.
Yeah. It's going to turn bad. Yeah. It's going to gangrene on you.
I think I see a little dirt in there.
Yep.
It's not good. I need a Band-Aid.
Well, those won't be invented for another 176 years. So, looks like I'm just going to have to take it off. But yeah, so a quick little history about Gettysburg. So the Battle of Gettysburg took place on July 1st through the 3rd in 1863. And it was the largest and bloodiest battle of the American Civil War, fought in and around the small town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So Confederate General Robert E. Lee led his Army of Northern Virginia on a second invasion of the North, hoping to relieve pressure on the South and possibly force a negotiated peace. The battle actually almost began by accident when Confederate forces were seeking supplies and they literally just came upon a Union cavalry.
Oh, boy.
Like, yeah, this wasn't like a... Okay, meet me at the playground at 3 o'clock, you know, and all this shit. Like, they didn't plan this out. This was like, oh shit, there they are. And that's pretty much what started the battle. So, the first day, July 1st, the Confederates kind of, they were kind of pushing the Union troops around a little bit, pushing back through the town and to strong defensive positions on Cemetery Hill and Culp's Hill. Day two.
Oh, I thought it was Oh, no, that's Seminary Ridge. There's
There's a bunch of, like, different spots that are named for different shit. There was just so much that happened there. Like, I feel like every spot's got its own little special name and shit. Yeah. So, yeah, on the second day, Lee attacked both Union flanks in fierce fighting at places like Little Round Top, Devil's Den, the Wheat Field, and the Peach Orchard. But the Union line held. And then on day three, Lee ordered the famous Pickett's Charge, which was a massive infantry assault against the Union center on Cemetery Ridge. And it was also a huge fucking disaster for him.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Big fucking mistake. Like, I don't know. Lee was getting a little too dicky, basically.
You have fucked up.
Yeah.
You have now fucked up.
So, Union General George G. Meade's Army of the Potomac repelled the attacks. Lee retreated to Virginia on July 4th, marking a decisive Union victory. The battle itself involved roughly 165,000 soldiers and produced over 50,000 casualties.
Wow.
Killed, wounded, missing, captured. That's in 3 fucking days.
That's
ridiculous.
And that was a town with a population of, I think I read, 2,400 people.
Yeah.
And so you have an influx of
all of a sudden 165,000 come in, like, Jesus. Dude.
Can you imagine, not only being a soldier, but imagine being, like, a townsperson?
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Just like, what the fuck is going on?
What is going on here?
I mean, luckily, it wasn't very lucky for her. But, like, I mean, luckily for the town as a whole. There was only one civilian killed during the Battle of Gettysburg.
Wow.
That was Jenny Wade. So, which is a big, like, tourist spot now there, you know. They got, like, a museum and stuff. I think I got a shot glass, actually. Yeah. So.
That bullet hole is still right through the door.
Yeah.
You never changed the door.
Yeah. So. But yeah. So, of course, with all this... death and battle and everything like that. If you're looking to make some ghosts, Gettysburg is probably the perfect place for it.
Yeah. A lot of unexpected deaths, young death.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's just a recipe for ghosts right there.
100%. So that is what we'll be talking about today. So I guess the next question is, who would like to lead us off?
No, you can do one and then I'll do mine.
Okay. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with one at, Pennsylvania Hall, which is in, Gettysburg College. So story goes, I was working late one night in the early 80s, just me and another admin finishing up paperwork on the fourth floor of Pennsylvania Hall. We were exhausted, so we hopped in the old service elevator to head down to the basement storage for some files. The doors closed, the button lit up, and it started descending normally. Then it jerked a little, like it skipped a floor. When the door slid open, oh man, it wasn't the basement. We were staring into absolute hell. A dimly lit room packed with wounded soldiers on tables, blood everywhere, puddles on the floor, splattered on the walls. Surgeons in rolled up shirt sleeves and aprons soaked red were hacking away at limbs with saws. Men screaming in agony, others moaning for water or their mothers. The smell hit us, coppery blood, rot, ether. One doctor looked right at us, his face pale and exhausted, and he raised a bloody hand like he was begging us to help or come in. We froze. I slammed the close button repeatedly. The doors finally shut, and the elevator lurched upward. When we got back to our floor and ran to tell security, we went back down together with the guard. Nothing. Just dusty storage shelves. But I've never forgotten that surgeon's eyes. Multiple people have had the exact same thing happen over the years. It's like the building drops you into 1863 for a few seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Where did you find that?
Insane. I just looked up like craziest and scariest Gettysburg ghost stories.
Wow.
And that was one that came up. Like I basically I put in like give me like personal accounts kind of thing.
Right.
And that was one that came up. But like that is insane.
The crazy thing is that I watched this documentary I found on YouTube, and it was these two women, basically the same story, but they said that they were riding the elevator down, wanted to go to the first floor, yet it took them to the basement.
Oh, okay.
But when the basement doors opened, they saw like the exact same
scene.
The
exact same thing, yeah.
And they had the same reaction. In fact, I think they were screaming and freaking fuck out.
Oh, shit.
You know, just trying to close that door. But well, holy
like,
shit.
Even more though, like the fucking, like the one guy looking at them.
Yeah.
Cause that's like,
cause they said the same thing.
A residual thing and an intelligent haunting occurring simultaneously.
I was gonna say, that's almost like in a movie, like going through the four, do it like the fourth wall. Like, you know, yeah, it's yeah, almost like two dimensions coming together. Like, that's what kind of scares me is it's almost like the whole, like, we've never gone into like time travel yet or like, you know, time sometimes. People think, like, dimensions, this all can be occurring at the same time. Mm-hmm. Have you heard theories
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
But it's, like, something like that, where, like, you are actually dropping into that world.
Yeah.
For you're that there. Split second. Like,
and, like, they're getting
what
smells?
Happens? Are these, so is this, like, happening at this, right now in a different dimension? Like, weirdly, like,
yeah.
you know
yeah.
that
yeah.
is?
I don't know. And so, I really don't
like,
know.
Or that elevator just like went back in time. Like, my God, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, I mean, like the ghost is, you know.
Well, like I said, it's the acknowledgement. The yeah, acknowledgement, yeah.
The acknowledgement
it
is
makes
worse.
It so much worse.
And like.
It's like, oh shit, you can see me, motherfucker.
These,
like,
I gotta
oh,
get out
yeah,
of here.
No.
I'm in war.
Yeah,
these
know,
women
right?
said the same thing, though, is that like the doctor tried to beckon them to like. Come and help. Like,
yeah.
don't you see this
he's
is
like,
fucked
what you,
up?
It's like, come on, bitches. What are you doing? Yeah. Like,
he's like, you must be nurses. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Grab a saw. What are you doing?
Can you? Okay. So say if like this time travel thing is real. I know that's not what we're talking about now. But picture this. Okay. So we're picturing that in like the eyes of like nowadays. Like this person. Like, hey, I just went down to service elevator and I like came into like a war zone. Can you imagine? Go into that doctor's point of view.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing this. And then all of a sudden you see somebody just appear.
Future ladies.
Future that you think could help you. And you're just like, anybody. I'll take anybody.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, fuck no. Yeah.
Hey, those yeah. women are wearing pants.
Yeah, I know, right?
Go back to hell.
Who are they?
It's yeah. Like, that's actually
kind of. Completely different clothes.
Yeah. That's actually kind of funny. It reminds me of like the idea for that comedy that I had. No, nobody steal this. But basically, it was like a group of people ghost hunting, but from the ghost's point of view, and they're just fucking sick of it. Because it's like a place that like people come ghost hunting like all the time and shit like that. And they're just sick of all these motherfuckers just like rolling in and bothering them. I don't know. That's I thought it could have been like kind of funny.
I'd like to watch that movie.
Yeah. See, like, I don't know. I thought that could have been kind of funny. So
man, fuck these people. I'm going to turn the lights off in their hotel room.
Yeah. Just like, there, just have like, like, I don't know. I thought like one scene where like they're doing like EVPs and shit. And then like everybody's like freaking out. Like, oh, he said hi. He said hi. And like just have the ghost standing right there. I was like, I didn't fucking say that. Like, you know, just like shit like that, you know, like just from their perspective. Like, I don't know.
Man. No, dude, I said I'm high.
Yeah.
Like, they just have, like, some, like, that would be fun. That is a great.
Yeah, but then you would totally have, like, yeah, like, the 1940s guy, like, it's like, what are these women talking about voting for and shit? Like, you're just all pissed off. Like, just have, like, that character as well.
And would you have all these ghosts from different eras, or would they all kind of, they'd be, like, a ghost from 40s versus a ghost from...
I mean, it would just be a bunch of random, just like, random whatever I could make bits out of, honestly.
I mean, that's cool.
So, yes. Whatever demographic was needed for something that I thought of that was funny. Yeah.
Ghosts throughout time.
Yeah.
Who are quarreling with each other.
Yeah.
Like, you get some, like, guy from 1820 versus the guy from 1940, and he's like, the 1820 guy's like, you're a pussy! I'm a real man! And then, like... they're all picking on the guy from, like, 1980.
Yeah. Why's your hair like that? The fuck is wrong with you? That's fucking fantastic. All right, so go ahead, Amanda. You're up.
All right, so I was listening to one that was very interesting and also very sad and gross. But I believe it happened on the first day of Gettysburg, so July 1st. There's an area called Seminary Ridge, and Confederate soldiers, there was a barn there with, like, I think, like, a stone floor. And at this area, there were so many dead bodies. I mean, they were just everywhere. And I believe this was the area where Robert E. Lee wanted to make, like, a headquarters. So they're like, hey, let's clean up these bodies. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's so many bodies. And so they just saw this barn that was nearby. And they're like, you know what? We're just going to, we don't have time to bury all these, like, bodies.
I bet that could hold a bunch of bodies.
I bet that can hold a bunch of bodies. So they used it as essentially a morgue for storing the soldiers who had died at Gettysburg. Unfortunately, unknown to the Confederate soldiers who were putting these bodies in there, there was one guy who was just unconscious. He was not dead.
Okay.
So, but, you know, they brought
him
in.
Put him on the pile.
They brought him in with the rest of the bodies, just underneath a mountain of dead soldiers.
Oh, God. That's
but horrible. He was still alive.
Okay.
So, but his injuries were bad. I believe, I read it in another area that he was, they believed he was paralyzed.
Okay.
So, you know, his injuries kept him from escaping the weight of these dead bodies. So think about it. Not only are you already injured and weak and probably dying yourself, you are buried. You have dead bodies on you. I mean, think of the odor. Think of the secretions, like the blood, the any other bodily fluids, just probably
so
flies, you know. I mean,
you're just covered in dudes.
Yeah.
Like,
covered.
Covered in dudes.
Bloody, that's- dead. Dudes.
That sounds awful. That sounds,
yes. That sounds and you're alive.
Yeah, and you're alive.
And you can do nothing about it.
But yeah, so, but your legs are
all he could
dumb.
Do was just scream. And so I guess fortunately, but this was already a couple days later. I read that it was like 5 days later.
Oh, shit.
But there were some nearby Union troops who had heard the man scream for help. But I guess
I
he was
like... barn's haunted.
He was like real, real like... close to death, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
this time.
Of course.
So they had dug him out from underneath the dead bodies, transported him into a hospital. Unfortunately, he did soon die after, I believe it was a couple days later, from his wounds. And they were saying before dying, just the heat and trauma of just being buried alive drove him insane.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, I've imagine read that in a couple being places. Like that for 5 days.
Right. Like, you can't blame him. That would be anybody.
That would suck.
I would rather have died immediately. Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I know that this guy in particular, so when they finally got around to burying bodies, you know, the carpenters started making caskets and stuff, and then they realized, they're like, there's too many fucking bodies. So, of course, they kind of just started burying people in groups.
Nope.
Just, you know, just burying them under the ground. But I believe this guy, they gave him his own casket.
I mean, at that point, you kind of earned it.
Yeah, give the guy a little respect, Jesus
Christ. Right. And I think that he was buried very nearby that barn.
Like, hey, remember this place?
Yeah.
It's like, kind of a dick move, honestly.
Yeah.
But can I go on the other side of the cemetery, please?
Yeah, get me as far away from this barn as possible.
Not in the dude barn.
Send me home.
Yeah. So that's what I had listened to on one of the things I was listening to. But but sometime after the battle, the barn was I read torn down or burnt down. So and that was very shortly after.
Yeah.
And then it was shortly after and the corpses were buried. And then after this, on the same like stone foundation that the barn was on, they built a house. On there.
Oh my God.
That's a terrible idea. Yeah. Why would you
right?
do that?
I know.
That's such a bad
idea. So there was a house that was built on that.
Oh, I want to go to that house, dude.
Didn't turn out to be a great idea.
Yeah.
So clearly that place ended up having many owners because each owner would say, this place is fucking haunted. And they all said that they were seeing seeing and hearing a ghostly soldier aimlessly walking around the farmhouse. I know that definitely was in like the basement or wherever it was in the area where he was when he was in the barn.
Oh my God.
So he appeared in agony. He was not this was not like a friendly ghost thing. Like he was not happy. Like he was,
I mean, I'd be like, dude, look at you. You're up walking around and shit. Like, can't be that bad. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, clearly he's stuck somewhere in limbo. You know, so accompanying the ghostly soldier were sounds of explosions and ghostly cries. So supposedly the Confederate soldier who was once buried alive had returned as a ghost. So for good reason, no one stayed at the farmhouse for long. Families moved in and out of the home very regularly. Finally, one family decided to bring in someone to exorcise, actually, the house. Mm-hmm. So they had somebody do an exorcism. And according to what I've read, after the exorcism, nobody heard from the ghost again. So my understanding was that the exorcism worked.
Okay. It does a lot of the times.
Right. And I think that on the door of the farmhouse, he had put either the priest or whoever had done the exorcism had put like a circle with a cross in it. So that was very interesting.
That
but can
is
you
very
imagine
interesting.
Like that does not surprise me that, you know, I mean, that guy had a horrible death.
He was probably residual, you know, just because of the way he, you know, died and everything like that. I mean, he didn't die there, but he might as well have, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if he went fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, like, afterwards, which I completely understand.
Yeah.
You know, if I was covered in dudes while also paralyzed for, like, 5 days, you know, I might have some problems, you know.
Yeah,
so, wow.
That was pretty insane. I couldn't stop listening to that one. I actually listened to that one a few times because I wanted to make sure I got my, you know, the details from the couple sources that I looked at. But I'm like, oh my God, what the heck? So anyways, yeah, that's very interesting. But it said, I don't know if that farmhouse still exists or not. I don't know. I mean, I imagine it would be one fucking cool Airbnb.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If it did. 100%. But I don't know.
Hmm. I wonder. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, whatever, if there is something in that area where that barn was, it's haunted.
Dude, oh, absolutely. Dude, that whole fucking town is haunted, man. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm sure there's so many stories like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's got to be so many stories. Oh, yeah, like
you
that.
Suffered for like a week and shit. And it's like, God. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks, dude. But.
Yeah, I feel like most people who go to Gettysburg will come back with some sort of story, at least a feeling, you know? Mm.
If you don't, you're
not looking. It's got a weird, like, the whole town's got a weird vibe to it. Like, I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's great. But is you just like, ah, like, what the fuck? Like,
I mean,
like
that whole town can be haunted. It, not ba- just, like, it is. The, yeah,
basically
the entire
is.
Town.
Yeah, because like, it's not a big city, right?
No, I mean, no,
only
24
people lived there in the 1860s.
Yeah. I mean, like, we were there.
I think it was more than 24.
Yeah.
2,400.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't even qualify as a village.
Yeah, no, no, no. That's barely a tribe.
Yeah, so. Right.
But yeah, but no, I mean, like, when we were there, we ended up going on this kind of ghost hunting thing or whatever. And I mean, like, it was very, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, they were awesome. But when I was signing up for it, like, I didn't know it was going to be so, like, beginner driven, you know? Yeah. And, like, I was kind of expecting, like, a little bit more, basically.
Oh,
you know? So, like, I was kind of like, it's kind of, you know, like, I got a little bored. But they were really cool. So, like, I went up and was just talking to them and stuff like that, like, the people running the thing. And, like, he was like showing me fucking because we started talking about ghost stuff and everything. And he's like, I was like, man, yeah, we've had some weird stuff happening around our house and shit like that.
Oh, really?
And like, he ended up like showing me some like videos of like, you could see kind of see like a shadow moving in the back of one. And then like another one, like the fucking, like a bucket got knocked over and like, didn't see anything touch it and shit. Huh. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, yeah, so we just, you know, finished up doing that, so. But yeah, dude, like, the whole town. The whole town.
Yeah. Well, I got a quick story about a ghost tour thing.
All right, cool,
I was
perfect.
About. It was this lady, she was telling her story, and she used to do the guides, the ghost tours. She used to be, like, the guide, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to the covered bridge that was a popular haunted spot. I think it was the Saks covered bridge. So there's just one of the stops on the tour. And this is like a bridge where it was used by both armies. And it was a site where three Confederates were hung from the rafters of the covered bridge for deserting. So there's that. And then
yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, there's been always like reports of like disembodied heads in the mist and phantom cigar smoke, taps on the shoulder, and like hearing echoes of like gunfire and stuff. But yeah, there's apparently a bunch of different spirits, and one of them apparently likes smoke. They say. This is what I heard, and it's kind of sounds stupid, I thought, but I'll just say it anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
They said, like, oh, if you light a cigarette and, you know, you put it out, like, it'll, like, burn itself down all the way and go out. I'm like, well, maybe it was just burning. I don't know, you know? Like,
I mean,
that happens.
That was, like, pretty much all cigarettes before they started putting that fucking chemical
in. Yeah, before they started doing that.
Because people kept falling asleep with them and burning their fucking houses down.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, that wasn't really what I was getting at. This woman was doing the tour with like just a regular family, and like she said, they were like kind of, you know, like a beginner. They were just doing it for fun,
yeah.
You know, the kids and everything. But they're there, and like she would bring a laptop and like some recording equipment and stuff to like do like EVPs, and they could try to catch like EVPs.
Yeah.
So, she said her computer wasn't moving at all, or it wasn't working at all. She was having all these technical difficulties, and like she's trying to be like, damn, trying to joke with it and be like, okay, it looks like you don't want us to use the computer this time, blah, blah, blah. And like, all of a sudden, like the laptop, like moved like 3 inches to the left. Like they all saw it and they're like, what?
That's amazing.
And like, she said herself, even at this time, she was feeling, mind you, she goes there all the time to do these tours. She never feels this, but this time she was like feeling very like uneasy. Something just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Like she was actually legit scared, you know, but she didn't want to. She's the tour guide.
She didn't want to be like,
listen, I think we're going to go to the next spot because I'm a little scared right now. It's like, dude, you're the fucking tour
guide. No, you're the tour guide. You can't get scared. You got to fucking.
Yeah, fake it till you make it.
Yep, you got to take it on the chin. So you can't get freaked out.
She powered through.
Well, and, good for her.
I think they were still just kind of talking to it. You know, there was no recordings because it wouldn't work, but they're just saying things. All of a sudden, laptop just slams closed.
Oh my God, this is terrifying.
Yeah. And she's like, well, let me just get this equipment out of here because you clearly don't want it. So she packs it up and like puts it back in the car or whatever. And she meets
maybe
back
it was
up.
A Mac and there was a Windows fan.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So they,
oh, what the fuck is that?
Nice.
Freaking soundboard. Don't you fucking soundboard me, you fucking asshole.
That's awesome. I love that.
That's fantastic, though. Jesus Christ.
Well, eventually they go back and they spend a couple more minutes there. And I think she says, like, something to the family, like, I'm feeling, like, really kind of anxious here. That we don't usually feel like this way. And they're like, oh, the whole family's like, oh, my God, can we go to the next place? Like, because this feels really weird and something's not right. Mm-hmm. So, and she's like, oh, thank God, because I didn't want to be the one to say it. I mean, in a way, she kind of did, but she completely agreed with her. Like, they were both thinking, like, I don't want to be the first one to say this, but something is off right now.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not digging this spot. We should move on to the next one.
Right. But then, and it's not necessarily haunting. It is weird, though. When she got home and she unpacked all the computer and stuff, she said it was the biggest wolf spider on the laptop that she had ever seen.
No shit.
Which is just odd.
Oh, my God. Huh.
But, yeah, I mean, that's about it. Apparently, there's tons of stories from this bridge, so somebody else might have one further down the line here.
Yeah, I think I might, like, further down the line a little bit, so.
All right, well, let's get into another one here. So this one is the Barefoot Confederate at Devil's Den. So the story goes, we were hiking around Devil's Den after dark on a ghost tour, me, my wife, and a couple friends. The rocks were creepy enough in the moonlight, all jagged and silent. We were taking photos near a big boulder when this guy just appeared. He stepped out from behind a rock like he'd been there waiting. Barefoot, ragged gray uniform hanging off him, long tangled hair under a floppy hat, dirt caked everywhere. He looked right at me and said in this low, tired drawl, what you're looking for is over there, pointing towards Plum Run Creek. We all turned to look where he pointed, nothing but darkness and water. When we turned back, he was gone. No footsteps, no rustling, just vanished. My wife started shaking. She swore she felt his eyes on her back the whole walk out. Later, we learned tons of people see this same helpful hippie or Texas soldier ghost. Always barefoot, always pointing, always gone in a blink. It felt too real, too close. I still get chills thinking he knew we were looking for something paranormal.
I read about this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You read about this guy too? Yeah, apparently this is a reoccurring spirit that people see. So.
Yeah, that's wild.
I'm just picturing Phil.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Yeah,
our buddy Phil, like, kind of, like, in, like, a Confederate costume, which is, like, don't get your picture taken in that, bro. Like, it's not quite as bad as, like, wearing, like, an SS uniform, but it's not great unless you're doing a reenactment, so. But, yeah, no, that's kind of what I was feeling, too. I was like, you know, put on some shoes, you fucking hippie. So.
Yeah,
he's our friend.
Yeah.
There is a ton of stories from this Devil's Den, which seems like a really cool area too.
Yeah, I remember it being like pretty cool. Boulders, yeah, there's a bunch of like big old rocks and shit. Like,
they used it for like a strategic position because there's so many places.
Yeah, I think it was like they sharpshooters were posted there.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Amanda, I believe it's your turn.
Yes. Can I just read down the line?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah,
so let's go for it. We're doing the, this one is called The Marching Shadows of Little Round Top. My buddies and I were on Little Round Top one foggy evening, just sitting on the rocks talking history. It was quiet, except for crickets.
I mean, yeah, it fits. So, proceed.
Then we heard it. Boots. Heavy, rhythmic marching. Like a whole platoon coming up the slope behind us. Terrifying. We spun around, expecting late hikers or something. Nothing. But the sound kept coming closer. Boots crunching gravel. Low murmurs like orders being passed. Suddenly, through the mist, we saw shapes. Translucent figures in Union blue, muskets on shoulders, marching in formation right toward us. They didn't look solid, more like smoke with edges. That's a very good description.
Yeah,
smoke with edges. But they were obeying some silent command, turning sharply. One guy in the front row locked eyes with me for a second. His face was young, exhausted, haunted. The formation passed through where we were sitting, like we weren't even there, and kept going down the hill. Then silence again. We sat there stunned, hearts pounding. No one said a word until we were back at the car. That feeling of being marched through, it was terrifying. That is so terrifying.
That's pretty fucking sweet.
You know what is also terrifying? I keep going back to this like interdimensional shit because when he says, you know, the one guy kind of looked at me like, you know, so you would wonder like if that guy who's marching, maybe he saw something out of the corner of his eye and just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Looked and here, you know, in this dimension, we're like, what the f-? These guys are like, you know, I mean, they were ghosts. Or he called like smoke with, what do you call them?
Smoke with edges.
Smoke
yeah,
with
I
edges.
Like that description.
Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, that's a pretty good description.
Yeah.
Those are things pretty, that like, it's I pretty believe. Accurate.
Yeah. Too.
Like.
And I also love the fact that they were like, we didn't talk about this until we got back to wherever. I can imagine that. Like, everybody just being scared shitless.
There was nobody like me in that group.
Well, no.
Like, dude, did you guys fucking see that? Like, that was amazing. Like,
yeah.
Well, I would have been going nuts. Like,
but everybody was just chilled to the bone. So they just, no one said anything until, like, afterwards they go, did you see that? Yeah.
Well, like right after it happened, I'd be like, come on, let's see where the fuck they're going. Like, come on, let's follow them. Like,
that makes me think of this little YouTube video I watched before I came here. It was, I think I typed in Gettysburg Ghost. It's like 55 seconds long, but it's like somebody driving along. And they drive it up to this, like, road where there's like a couple of cannons still like set up. I don't know if they're real cannons or what, but they like stop because they see something on the wood line, and it's really weird. It looks like, I was going to say predator, like a group, like all like coming, like passing through the cannons and then like disappearing when they get to the road. But the smoke with edges is almost more an appropriate description. So nice. I mean, it seemed kind of old too. So I don't think this was like AI.
Okay.
The camera, it looks like it was a phone or something. It's kind of shitty, but you can tell there's something weird happened.
Huh.
But
that's sweet. I believe that kind of stuff.
Just like, you know, it's stuck in like a time loop or something.
I mean, that's what a lot of stuff is. I mean, like, when you're looking at residual hauntings, like, it's just, like, an impression. And it just keeps playing over and over and over again. Like, when you have some, like, the theory is, when you have some huge traumatic event, like, it makes an imprint on that, you know, space where it occurred. So
yeah,
I mean, fuck, what was it? 50,000 people died like in the spot.
3 days?
Like, yeah, in like 3 days. Like, yeah, that's a big one. So, like, I mean, like we were saying earlier, the fucking recipe's there. So, all right, let's get into another one here. So we have the crawling impressions at Triangular Field. So we went to Triangular Field at dusk because everyone says it's one of the most active spots. Electronics die there all the time. Our phones, just a note, our phones and recorders were fully charged, but within minutes they start glitching and shutting off. We ignored it at first, then the grass started moving. Not wind, but clear depressions.
Oh, like footprints.
Like invisible bodies dragging themselves across the field towards us.
Army crawling.
Which is way worse than footprints.
Army crawling. Yeah. Like an invisible person army crawling towards you.
Yeah, pretty
that
much.
That is terrifying. Oh my God.
You could see the blades flatten in a line, one after the other, coming closer.
Oh my God.
At the same time, we heard it. Distant rebel yells, screams of the dying, cannon booms that vibrated in our chests, but no smoke, no source. The air got thick, oppressive, like something heavy was pressing down. One of us yelled to run. We bolted for the gate. Behind us, the impressions kept coming faster.
Oh my God.
We smelled gunpowder and blood so strongly it made us gag. Nothing followed us out, but I swear something watched us leave. That place feels wrong, like the battle never really ended.
That's so, like, sad to me. Like, I hate the battle never ended. Like, ugh.
It's like, you guys have to fucking just keep doing this shit over and over. You like,
can't, like, good shit
forever.
Loop. Come on.
Yeah, I know, like, right? Unfortunately, no.
And the hell?
You want to take the next one?
Yeah, sure.
Go.
So this is the Phantom Touch in Hospital Woods. I was alone in Hospital Woods one afternoon. It's this quiet patch where they set up field hospitals, amputations right on the ground. Amputations right on the ground. I felt watched the whole time, but brushed it off. Then I sensed two men approaching from behind. Footsteps on leaves, breathing. I turned, no one. But the feeling got stronger, like they were right on top of me. One brushed my arm, cold fingers, deliberate. The other seemed to lean in close, whispering something I couldn't make out, just urgent and pained. Panic hit. I ran out of there so fast. Later, I learned people often feel two soldiers closing in there, maybe orderlies or docs who died. That touch, it wasn't aggressive, but it was so personal. Like they needed help and thought I could give it. I haven't gone back alone since. Oh, like they need help. It's like the elevator
scene. It's like
scene
the elevator doctor.
Where the guy reaches out and goes, help me. And we go,
doctors. Doctors got it just as bad as the soldiers.
I know, right? Ugh. All right, Kyle, you got another one you want to take one off of?
Sure, I'll go with that next one.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, go for it.
We're going to go with the orb lanterns and sarcastic EVP in the woods near battlefield edges in 2010. Story goes, my friends and I were out one humid July night in 2010, poking around the woods off the main path because we'd heard stories about activity there. We weren't seeing much at first, just crickets and the occasional rustle. Then these huge glowing orbs. There you go.
This is so fun.
I know, isn't it?
Then these huge glowing orbs appeared, swinging like old fashioned lanterns, carried by invisible hands. They bobbed through the trees, slow and deliberate, like someone was walking a patrol. We froze, watching them drift closer. But no bodies, footsteps, just these massive lights floating head height. One of us pulled out the recorder for EVP when we played it back later, clear as day, a voice said something mocking. What are you doing here? In this sarcastic, drawn-out tone. Like, it was annoyed we were bothering
like, him. What are you doing here?
Yeah. What are you doing here? What are you doing? Another part had a faint "help me" whisper that made our skin crawl. We booked it out of there fast, and the orbs faded as we ran. But the voice stuck with me. It didn't feel welcoming. It felt like we were intruding on something that didn't want us around.
See, that is like... all of them are like.
I know they're that feeling.
They're all... It feels not like negative speak, but just like...
No, just like over it. And yeah. Like, don't want to deal with your shit. Like, all the intelligent sound, like hauntings sound like they're just fucking over it.
Like, leave me alone. Like,
yeah.
Well, they're just angry or, gosh, yeah. I don't know.
Probably.
I like to think that, like, ghosts, like, if I ever see one, like, they're, like, keeping me safe, things like that. And they're, like, this is just, like, oh, they're just, like, sad.
Yeah.
They're just, like, angry. And, oh.
Makes sense.
It makes me sad.
Yep. All right, so next story we have is... The Union soldier who wouldn't leave, which I guess took place on a advanced ghost tour. So the story goes, I went on one of those advanced paranormal investigation tours a few winters back. Cold night, small group, lots of gear like REM pods and spirit boxes. That's cool. We were at a spot near the battlefield when the obelisk started spitting out words. A name, rank, and regiment. We Googled it right there on the spot. Turns out it actually matched a real Union soldier who died in the fighting. The guide said, okay, if that's you, don't follow us home.
So
that's
important
to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what an ovulus is?
It's basically, okay, like an ovulus is basically, it's a device that kind of, it basically runs through all the radio frequencies like really fucking quick. And basically the idea is that spirits can like almost in the static, like you remember that movie, like White Noise with Michael Keaton.
Okay.
Kind of like that, like through the static, they're able to say something and like communicate.
Is that, so like, you'll is get that like a different word. Than an EMF detector?
Yes. EMF detector. You're just looking for, concentration of, electromagnetic frequency.
Okay.
Like you're not getting like spoken words from an EMF detector, basically.
Okay. So. All right. You know what? I've seen those. I just didn't know.
It just like goes through the radio station, like the radio signals, like really quick.
Okay.
And
I
the
have
thought
seen
is
that.
You
I
can
just
like
have
hear
no
stuff.
Idea what it was called.
Yeah. I've had okay luck with them in the past. I don't know. It's kind of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Those are cool.
Yeah.
What is the REM pod?
The REM pod's basically like, the REM pod is like, it's almost like a advanced K2 meter where different lights will light up and you can basically be like, hey, you know, if you're here, blah, blah,
yeah, okay.
Could you light up the green light? And it can, you know, light up the, you know, trigger it and you'll see like the green light come on. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah. I've seen those.
Yeah. So it's like a more advanced EMF detector almost. So, but yeah, so, I mean, that's cool that they got that, but yeah. Yeah. Just pro tip for everybody else. Yeah. The whole don't follow us home. Very important to say, make sure you guys fucking say that if you run into something out in the world, like, cause you don't want it to fucking follow you home.
But so what, it didn't work for them though?
Well, we will find out. Yeah, apparently not, because
no,
apparently
it did.
Yeah. So literally the next line of the story is, after it says don't follow us home, the next line is, but it did. Or something did. For the rest of the trip, we felt watched. Doors in our hotel room would creak open on their own. Shadows shifted in corners. And one night I woke up feeling pressure on the bed like someone sat down.
Oh, God.
No That's one creepy. Was there, but the air got freezing. Yeah, there's something there. We even got a heat signature photo later showing a handprint on the wall that wasn't ours. It wasn't violent, just persistent. Like it latched on and wouldn't let go. I still wonder if he's gone or if he's still hanging around somewhere.
It's so weird. Especially with what I even messaged you guys earlier with that handprint. that I saw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was weird.
That was creepy, dude. That was weird. It gave me the creeps. I had a pack of, like, ground beef pulled from the freezer. It was, like, it was thawing out, so, like, there was, like, a layer of frost
on it.
Was
this at home or at work?
That was at work.
It was at work.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I walked past it the one time, and I'm, like, the only one back there. So, like, there's a handprint in, like, the frost. And I'm like, what the?
That's so weird. Random.
I'm like, I don't remember touching that.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, I assume you just took it out, threw it on the counter, and just kind of let it go.
And went about my business. Yeah. So
it's like, that'll be good for like 2 hours. Like, so like,
I don't remember touching that. And it was
would remember specifically putting your whole palm on a whole thing of meat. Like, you would just remember that.
It was a left hand, too. So I'm like, even if I did do that, like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know.
Kevin?
I'm pretty sure it would have been.
I would have. Yeah, I would have. It was me. All right, I admit it.
It was me. I mean, I am too. It's but like, oh, that was a man hand.
We're just blaming all the lefties now.
Yeah, yeah. It was a man hand. Okay, it couldn't be me. I know I'm left-handed, but that was a man hand.
Even if it was, that it was smaller than my hand. Like, my hand overshadowed, so it just was weird.
Yeah, it's like just so random. Yeah.
They like putting handprints on stuff.
Yeah. Then
if you haven't noticed in previous episodes, Kyle's workplace has a lot of haunting.
Oh, stuff. Yeah. If you're super interested, haunted. Go back to the haunted healthcare episode.
There you go. We really touch on it in that one.
Quite a few personal experiences there.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. Who's up?
I think it's me.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, this is the Grayed Out Town and Dead Expressions, a childhood visit. So I was 13 when my family visited Gettysburg. The second we drove into town, everything changed. Colors drained out like someone turned down the saturation on the world. Not black and white, just this hazy, lifeless gray over everything. Buildings, trees, people walking around. It just felt wrong, oppressive. We stopped near some historic houses, and that's when I saw them. Three figures standing in a yard, two men in Union uniforms, one woman with sleeves rolled up and hair pinned back like a nurse or civilian from the era. Their faces were blank, eyes empty, no emotion at all. They stared right at me, not moving, not blinking. My mom didn't see them. She was looking at a map. I tugged her arm, pointed, but by the time she looked, they were gone. The gray lifted a minute later, color snapped back, and it was normal again. But those dead expressions, I've never shaken that. It was like peeking into a frozen moment where the dead were still going through motions. Yeah.
God, that's so crazy.
You know, I will say that a couple days ago, it's so funny that they explained what the world looked like in like a, you know, a sepia or whatever.
Mm.
It just literally probably 3 days ago, Dustin and I were driving, and all of a sudden, like, just the way because it was like one of the days, I think it was like the last day we had snow or something. Right. So it was just white. Like the sky was just completely white. It wasn't blue. It wasn't just completely white. But somehow the way the sun was kind of, it wasn't setting yet, but it was kind of like on the side. It was on its way setting. And mm-hmm. So the way it portrayed the sky was, I literally told Dustin, I go, Dustin, oh my God, it's like someone put an Instagram filter on the, like,
in just real life.
On real life. I'm just fucking driving liar. Through. It was so weird. It was literally like the world was sepia for like that minute, because it wasn't dark yet. It was just the way the sun was on this like ugly white snowy sky. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, ew, I don't like this at all. It's so bogus. But just reminded me, like, that is literally the exact picture I had when this person, you know, described that, because that is something I remember. I'm like, ooh, this is weird. I don't like this at all. This is messed up. But of course, I didn't see any ghosts. Like, that's crazy. And especially when you're 13, you're not looking for, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're, you know, the normal 13-year-old, I suppose. But but yeah, no, that's that's cool. I mean, that's usually how it happens. Like, most of the time, if people don't ever have an experience, you know, like most of the time, if they do, it's when they're a kid. And it's just something that fucking sticks with you.
Or it's when you're not looking for something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to seek it out. It's just so crazy how all this amount of stories from Gettysburg where it's like they acknowledge like these people, mm-hmm. you know.
It's a lot of intelligent hauntings, it seems.
Yeah, like they're looking up.
Which I think it would be way more residual, but like the fact that it's, you know, intelligent ones, yeah, like, that kind of sucks.
People reacting, staring at them.
Yeah, like, ooh, I mean, that makes me so uneasy.
For them, like, it's way sweeter that there's intelligent hauntings there, like, for me. But yeah, for them, it sucks.
Yeah, like, if they're just stuck in it, man, that's...
Yeah, dude, that's fucking lame. It's, Kyle, I believe you're up.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
It's called The Cigarette That Moved On Its Own. From a winter night tour.
I wonder what this story's about. Sorry.
Hey, you don't know, okay? You have no idea.
What if it's a joint? Like, there's like a twist? You know? Yeah. Like, you think it's a cigarette the whole time, and it turns out to be a joint? Like, I don't know. All right, sorry, go ahead. Oh, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here.
So, on a freezing winter ghost tour...
I want to see that
tour,
thing when we're done. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
Find out what else is happening. So, a freezing winter ghost tour. Our guide was telling stories outside one of the old buildings. We were all bundled up, skeptical but excited. She set a cigarette on the edge of a windowsill as part of a test. Said if the spirits were around, they might interact with it. So we watched it for maybe 30 seconds. And it slid slowly but deliberately about 6 inches to the side, like someone nudged it with a finger. Interesting. No wind, no one close enough to touch it. Everyone gasped. Phones came out, but it stopped moving once we reacted. The guide laughed nervously and said, yeah, that happens sometimes.
No. Okay.
The feeling afterward was awful, like something was amused by scaring us. We felt eyes on us the whole walk back. The tiny impossible movement made it real in a way big apparitions never do. It was playful, but in a creepy, we see you kind of way.
I could see that being really creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And clearly weird. It's happened before, why would you do that in the first place?
I love that the guide, though, is just like, man, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, he knew that because that's why they put it there. Like, this is a test to see if they're around.
Yeah, they're just used to that.
I just love the descriptions people are using for this because it paints the picture so well. Like, I believe these stories. You're like, it just moved just a bit, like, just nudged, like somebody, like, nudged it, like, 6 inches, like, kind of flicked it. It's like, dude, like, that's exactly how you would describe something that you actually really physically saw that you can't explain,
things move like that. Like that one lady with the laptop closing. I mean, you just see some shit like move that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. You're like, nope.
Really? Nope. Yeah. You just want to nope up on out of there.
That's a big nope.
It's not so bad. It's so what's the next one? All right. The Screaming Soldier and Thighbone. And apparently this is a story of somebody camping near the battlefield. So, a buddy and I camped overnight near the battlefield years ago, tents pitched, fire going, trying to soak in the history. Middle of the night, this blood-curdling scream ripped through the air right outside my tent, like a man in agony cut off mid-yell. I bolted upright, heart hammering, thinking someone was hurt. Grabbing my flashlight, I poked my head out and saw nothing. My friend in the next tent heard it too. He came scrambling over, pale as hell. We sat up the rest of the night, too freaked out to sleep.
Oh, that'd be me.
I mean, like,
I'd be up all night.
At that point, I'd be like, "All right, let's try to get something else to happen." Yeah. Like, what else you want to do, buddy?
I'd be like, "Nope, I'm done. That was enough. That was enough."
Next morning, poking around the woods nearby, we found this weird depression in the ground,
like a sunken grave. And then, half buried in leaves, a human thigh bone, old and weathered.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Where's Herb Baumeister? Where the fuck is Herb Baumeister? Yeah.
This is Walter.
The burbs.
Right. But we didn't touch it, just stared. Rangers later said stuff like that surfaces sometimes from erosion, but that scream, it wasn't an animal. It was human, tortured, and way too close. We packed up and left before noon. Never camped there again.
Okay. Also, I'm going to bring up something random. Do you think, because they found a thigh bone. Yeah. That's a battlefield. Like, I get it. There's going to be a lot of it. Do you think, like, serial killers would dump bones there?
Yeah, just take advantage of how many bones?
I mean, you're going to be able to tell the age, but I mean, there's going to be ways that clearly you can tell. But that guy was like, oh, I saw a human thigh bone. Yeah. Left it there. Yeah. You know?
Happens all the time.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, to my eye, like, maybe to some people's eyes, they might not know what a fresh bone looked like, or a bone that's a couple of years old versus a bone that, you know, 150, years
right.
old.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a terrible idea if you're a serial killer, like from the serial killer's like point of view.
Yeah.
But, you know. But yeah, I mean, once you get to a lab, though, you're fucked. Like, you
right.
know,
but like out. I said, he's but somebody just like randomly. Hiker, like, yeah, I found a thigh bone, left it there. People say they see that sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I was putting an apple tree in the backyard and found a human skull just no threw it in the deal. Garbage. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't want it, so.
Yeah. I figured let them deal with it. So.
Oh, my God.
All right, who's up next?
I'll go.
Okay.
So this is the dead silence and cold snap near Rose Farm. I was out alone one sticky August afternoon, hunting for a spot where a New York artillery unit had been positioned off Confederate Avenue near the Rose Farm. The woods were alive at first. Leaves rustling in the breeze, birds chirping, normal summer stuff. I followed this narrow dirt path about 150 feet in toward the cannon site. Then, bam, everything stopped. No birds, no wind noises, no crickets. Oh, no.
It said no crickets. So I don't get any funny ideas over there.
No birds, no windows, no crickets. I could see the trees swaying overhead, but it was dead quiet, like someone hit mute on the world. Ooh. And the temperature plunged like walking into a walk-in freezer in the middle of the summer. Goosebumps everywhere. Out of the corner of my eye, something flickered. Movement, and it was fast. I whipped around. Nothing there.
Sheep squatch. Sorry. Sheep squatch.
Nothing there. But the silence pressed in harder, heavier. My heart was slamming. I don't scare easy. I've had other weird experiences. But this one felt wrong. Like I'd stepped into a pocket where time forgot to move. I turned and bolted back to the road and didn't stop until I hit pavement. Whatever was in there didn't follow me, but I felt eyes on my back the whole way out. Never went off trail alone again. Ugh. Can you imagine like feeling like everything's on mute and like no birds?
That'd be so fucked up.
That would be
I would have thought like a tornado's coming or something. Cause you know how like you know how, like nature just knows when a catastrophic event is happening.
Well, it's like you always hear that in a bunch of like Bigfoot sightings too.
Yeah,
as well.
You do.
Like
I didn't know that about the Bigfoot.
Yeah, things. Like everybody always says that like if they're if it's somebody just out in the woods, like all of a sudden the woods just quiet down.
Yeah.
Because it's like everything else knows that there's a predator in the area.
Right.
So that like that's just the reaction. Like everybody just hunkers down, like that's it. So like they always like say that the woods just somebody hit the fucking mute button, like it said on there. So
the big man can have that effect.
Yeah, he can do that.
Nobody wants to be friends with me.
You want to take the next one, Kyle?
All right, yeah, sure. Cool. The door that wouldn't stay closed.
Oh, I wonder what this one's about.
Ha! We rented a historic house in town for the weekend. Old place with creaky floors and thick walls. One night around 2 a.m., I woke up to the slow, deliberate creak from downstairs. The front door, I figured maybe the wind or one of us forgot to latch it. So I got up and checked, and it was shut tight. I locked it again, double checked, went back to bed. 5 minutes later, you hear the creak and the door is opening on its own. I ran down, door wide open this time, cold air pouring in, slammed it, locked it, even wedged a chair under the knob.
Damn, that's some fucking dedication.
Yeah. I'd be like, damn it, ghost. Like, I'm paying for this heat.
Yeah, exactly.
So back up.
I don't want to be haunted and robbed.
I know.
Like, yeah. Come on.
It's bullshit.
Back upstairs, after wedging the chair under the door, the handle. So not even 10 minutes pass before I hear it again. Footsteps across the porch, then the handle turning. The chair scraped across the floor as the door pushed in. I yelled for my wife, and we both watched it inch open while the chair slid. No one outside, no wind strong enough for that. We sat up all night with the lights on. In the morning, the chair was back in place like nothing had happened. And that persistence, and it wasn't random, it wanted in.
So the ghost put the chair back where it was supposed to be?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
That's what I gathered from that. The fact that, I mean, it's not easy to open a friggin' door if you do that wedge trick. You know,
it's not easy to open a locked door in the first place.
But if you don't have hands. Yeah, if you don't have physical hands.
There's a bolt lock on it and the chair wedge. Like, something's going on.
If you can, that shows me that the ghost can, like, touch you, like, strongly. If he can just open a door like that,
Well,
he's not just smoke with edges. He is just like...
Yeah, you can break your arm.
That always leads to the question, what else can you do?
Yeah.
You know, if you can do that, what else can you do? Oh. All right, so let's go to the next one here. So this next one is called The Phantom Touch and Help at Saks Covered Bridge. So this is the one that you talked about.
Yeah, the one where the woman, the tour guide with the laptop and all that.
All right, so well, we got another Saks Bridge story.
Saks Covered Bridge.
So my group hit Saks Bridge late one night, supposedly one of the most haunted spots because of the hangings there during the war. We were walking the wooden planks, flashlights off to let our eyes adjust in the moonlight. Felt watched immediately, like eyes from the rafters. Then this cold spot hit me, sharp right around my neck, like invisible rope tightening for a second. I gasped, clawed at my throat, nothing there, but the pressure lingered. At the same time, we all heard it, a low, strangled choke from above, like somebody struggling midair. One buddy's EVP recorder caught a southern voice whispering help, clear as day when we played it back. Shadows moved at the ends of the bridge, tall figures in gray uniforms pacing, then vanishing when we shone lights. Something brushed my arm hard like a shove. We ran, felt followed the whole drive out. That bridge doesn't just have ghosts, it has anger, unfinished business.
These are all so... bad.
Yes.
They're so, just all like, so angry.
That's where what I said before, the three Confederates got hung from the rafters on that bridge.
Yep.
So it kind of makes sense to possibly what they encountered there.
Yeah, that's a good way to make some ghosts. That's for sure.
Yeah. And especially with it being right above water, too, because that's always like there's strong connections.
It's like a conductor.
Paranormal stuff with in relation to like water.
Yeah.
It's especially
almost like it's like a conductor sometimes.
Sections of water. Like when two rivers meet or something.
Mm.
Like right where Point Pleasant is.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a trifecta. Maybe. It's at least two rivers like intersecting.
Isn't there ley lines that go through that area too?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. No wonder.
It's a hot spot for sure.
Yeah. No, maybe we'll do an episode on ley lines at some point. Do you know about those,
Amanda? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, it's basically like I don't remember how they were actually figured out where their positioning is or whatever, but there's basically these lines that go all over the earth, and sometimes they intersect at certain places, and places where they intersect have been known for, you know, heightened paranormal activity and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
like lines of,
like, it's just like, I don't really remember how they were formulated or figured out how they were drawn.
I
was looking
something up about that recently, and I think it was some.
That's what we needed to do an episode.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But
I'll look into it when I get home.
Yeah, maybe we'll just wait till we do an episode because I don't want to explain something and have it be wrong. But like, you know, like the pyramids are like at an intersection.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure Egypt, Stonehenge. You know,
like Stonehenge.
Yeah, Stonehenge is at an intersection. Yeah, see, there you go. Like, so it's like that kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of different weird stuff. Like, I think like the ancient Ram Inn, which is like one of the most haunted places in, like, I think Scotland or whatever. I think that sits on like an intersection of ley lines. So I don't know. We'll get into it. Maybe I don't know. Maybe next episode.
Tonight, or in bed.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Maybe next episode we'll do ley lines.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. So who's up?
It will be.
Okay.
So the next one is the girl's voice on the spirit box. We were on a small ghost hunt near the old orphanage site. The guide had a spirit box scanning radio static. He explained sometimes words break through if spirits want to talk. We were quiet listening. Then a soft, clear child's voice cut in. Hi!
Bravo.
Just that.
Bravo.
Sweet, but out of nowhere. The guide smiled, said hello back, kept scanning. A minute later, the same voice. Hi! Again, closer, almost playful. But then it shifted. Got insistent, repeating. Hi, hi, hi.
Holy shit.
That's scary.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm just kidding. I don't know. Faster, like demanding attention. The air got thick.
Did her cold spots? Sorry.
Cold spots popping up around us. One woman in the group started crying. She said it felt like a little girl tugging her sleeve. We thanked whatever it was and shut it down. That innocence turning needy, it unnerved everyone. Like she was lonely and didn't want us to leave her. So you left her.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
You still have to be like, okay, cannot follow me home.
Go
you have
to stay here. Mommy.
Yeah, go back to your ghost area. Like, yeah. You stay here. I'm going to leave.
Like, or like a demon pretending to be a little girl.
I mean, really? It could 100% be a demon pretending to be a little girl. That's what they do, because look at your reaction.
I know.
Immediately, you're like, oh my god, they left her? That could have been a fucking demon. Like, you have no idea. It probably was, actually. Yeah. Judging by the behavior that it turned into, it probably was.
Hi, hi, hi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like, probably, you were probably closer than you thought, honestly. It's like, okay, go fuck yourself. I'm out of here. You stay here. I'm going to leave. You do not have permission to follow me.
Yeah.
No, kill the girls. Kyle, you want to take this last one here?
Sure.
Cool.
This is called The Follower from the Battlefield. After a day on the field, going to Devil's Den and Little Round Top, we headed back to our hotel. Felt off the whole drive. Like somebody was in the back seat. Oh, that's weird.
I know.
That night, I woke up freezing with the room pitch black. The bed dipped on one side, like weight settling in. No one was there when I turned on the light. But the next morning, my wife said she felt the same. Someone sitting and watching. God, that's weird. And over the next few days at home, which is hours away, little things like footsteps in the hall at night, doors creaking open, cold spots following from room to room. One EVP I recorded in my own house caught a faint voice saying my name.
Oh, that's awful!
Yeah. That's why they say you shouldn't do that shit in your own house, right?
Yeah, don't investigate your own. Okay, yeah, sorry. Quick little PSA. Do not investigate your own house.
It's a terrible fucking idea.
You've done it.
No, I have not.
No,
I have not because I'm not a retard. So, like, do not investigate your own house.
I always kind of wanted to do when we lived together at my grandparents' house because that house was built around this time. It was built, actually, it was pre-Civil War. It was like from 1850, the original house. Guarantee that house was.
Oh, yeah.
Things happened. So, I know it was haunted.
But yeah.
Not like I needed proof, but
that would have been cool to do right before we had to leave.
Right before.
Yeah.
Like that's when you do it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But so whatever this was, it latched onto them during their trip to Gettysburg. And it took weeks of ignoring it and some smudging before the heaviness lifted. So Gettysburg doesn't always stay in Gettysburg.
Well, that just shows me that that person didn't say, don't follow me home.
Yep.
Yeah.
They did not, apparently.
But that's if it listens too, because that other story, the guy did say that he
sometimes,
said it.
Sometimes,
right.
Still,
It's much rarer, but sometimes it happens.
But I really want to go home with you.
Yeah, it's like I don't care. You stay here. You fucking stay here. Oh, man. Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much all I've got, unless you guys got any more we could touch on.
Just mention about the orphanage there.
Where, go ahead.
The headmaster, the head mistress, I don't know what you call her, but apparently
the bitch who ran the joint.
Yeah,
there we go.
Hated children.
Yeah.
Runs an orphanage.
It would be like
this is a very bad situation.
It would be like
if I ran an orphanage.
Yeah.
Like just say that out loud. You know how bad of an idea that sounds?
Right.
Way worse with this bitch.
The kids are better off living by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000%.
Oh, I meant with Kevin.
No, I'm not. I meant with both.
Same. Apples and oranges.
It's like, no.
Six in one, half a dozen in the other.
I mean, if I keep most of them alive, I feel like that's a win. So that's how bad my standards are.
So you wouldn't. As long as you don't do like she did and chain them up in the basement in the dungeon for like 4 days at a time.
Oh my God.
In complete pitch blackness. And that sounds awful.
How bad were they being?
Okay, Kevin.
One of them stole bread. And got locked up in the dungeon for 4 days. I mean, come on.
I know.
But
I'm not saying it was right.
Yeah.
There's no but to that. You can't start with that. I'm not saying it's right. No. End. Period.
I didn't hesitate.
Do not say anything more.
I didn't hesitate. I just said, I'm not saying it was right.
But you had something else to say.
There was an inflection there.
You had something else to say there.
It's fine.
And you're not
Continue. Hot mic, continue.
Right.
But no, that orphanage was fucked up. I remember going there when we were there, and I was just like, dude.
Oh, did you go there?
Yeah. And I was like, man. Dude, this bitch was fucking crazy.
And the basement, I just saw this on Ghost Adventures, but that basement just looks so creepy, man.
Oh, yeah.
All the houses, there's so many old towns and villages in Pennsylvania, and, this Gettysburg's obviously no different. Plus, it's so historical. They're probably not even allowed to change a lot of these homes and buildings and stuff,
I don't think so, but yeah, I mean, that's definitely, for the best. Like, keep it as long as you can fucking keep it.
Gettysburg weird, man.
Well, yeah, dude. I mean, just walking around the town and stuff like that, it's sweet. Because you see all this old shit, it's not like just walking around, Avon. Or some shit, or every house has just got built 2 years ago.
Yeah, they're not going to just build a development in the middle of Gettysburg.
Yeah, exactly.
But dude, here's the thing. Here's what I am not convinced that, say, even if for some reason they decided to just get rid of a lot of the historic sites, not that they, but just saying that they did. Dude, those ghosts aren't going away.
Right.
No.
Right.
I think, if anything, that'll rile them up even more.
It'll end up like fucking Poltergeist if you try to do that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those houses, they ain't going to have basements. You're gonna
God
if
no.
they like
nope.
build a development on the no triangle in-ground battlefield.
Pools, none of that shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't dig at all. You can't plant a tree, a bush.
No, everything just stays how it is.
Leave the ground the way it is.
Nice.
Or else you're going to be like freaking, what was it? Jason Lives. The moment you dig up some dirt,
yeah,
you're going to find a body and...
All of a sudden you just stick that conductor in his chest and God takes over, I suppose. And
yeah, zombie and Jason.
Next thing you know, you're fucked up.
All I'm saying is, yeah, taking down historic places won't do you any good. It'll just rile up what's already there.
Yeah, they don't like it when you change shit. They really don't like it when you change shit.
Yeah, and hopefully they wouldn't. I mean, that's probably what's keeping them there. Like, they think that it's still 1862 or 3 or whatever. Because nothing has changed. Yeah.
I mean, for them, probably.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, the old Jenny Wade house.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She's still in there, you know, making biscuits or whatever she was doing. And
did we talk about her? Well, we did talk about
her. We touched on her a little bit. Yeah, like right at the beginning. Yeah. She was Jenny Wade, of course, the only civilian who was killed during the Battle of Gettysburg.
Yeah, because she was like only 20. I think she was baking bread.
Yeah, she was literally just baking bread for the soldiers. Yeah. And it was just one stray bullet that got her. She was literally just standing in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Ironically, and I think she was at her sister's house because it was further away from the action.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Accidentally shot just because there was just a random kerfuffle or some shit
happened. Some stray
bullet. Ghost Adventures got a weird EVP at that Jenny Wade house that said, like, they were asking her questions. And I think that last thing they said to her was, is there anything else you want to say or tell us? And the EVP they found out afterwards was a ghost saying, I'm pregnant.
Oh.
Which is
crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Dude. I mean,
there's no way to verify that.
There's no way to prove that. But like, what the fuck?
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I mean, it sucks, but like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean.
Like, if somehow there was any way to verify that, like in a letter,
or
something like, you know, that would be unbelievable.
It would.
And that would just prove that what you're seeing. I mean,
that's good evidence. Yeah.
That's great evidence.
But there's no way to prove that if she was or if it was even her. But
yeah.
It's strange.
No, that's
it's not like they've, with 50 or 60,000 dead soldiers, they're not going to perform an autopsy of them, you know?
No, of course not. But damn, I wonder. I mean, they'd just be so crazy if like they finally like found something somewhere,
right? You
know? It's just like, yeah, just like a letter, you know, something
that's
simple
all
as that.
Needed, and that could really like vouch for
that would that really EVP vouch for and, that like, EVP 100%. Yeah. I don't know.
Dearest Walter, I'm writing you to tell you that I have skipped my menses for 3 months now, and my belly's a little bit larger.
You get the, like, fucking Peter Coyote in, like, a Ken Burns documentary. It's like, June 25th, 1885. Dates are completely wrong. So. Yeah, I know. Disregard those dates.
It's fine. It's fine. Oh, fuck. The fucking, like, soldier letters. Like, I always think of that fucking Greg Giraldo bit where he's, like, making fun of, like Civil War soldiers versus, like, Desert Storm fucking soldiers and shit. He's just talking about, like, because he goes into it and he's like, I had this book of, like, you know, letters from the Civil War, you know, it's basically like they made a book out of all these like letters that these soldiers wrote. Mm-hmm. And he was like, some of these are fucking like, it's amazing. You know, it's like, my dearest Hannah, you know, like blah, blah. You
it's
know,
hotter
like,
than the oxygen's wrong pulver.
Yes. It's like, I will keep your memory with me, cherished while I fight the forces of tyranny and oppression.
Yeah.
You know, like all this shit. And then he's like, now think about what the typical
letter from like a Gulf War soldier to his girlfriend back in Brooklyn, you know, sounded like, "Dear Marie, it is hot as fuck out here. It is very, very hot and I am very, very sweetie. It is hot because I'm in the desert. Is there anything I wanted to ask you? Oh yeah, don't fuck nobody till I get back, all right?"
So true.
Fucking love that fucking
so bet. True.
R.I.P. Greg Giraldo. It's fucking fantastic. Shit. But that is the Ghosts of Gettysburg. I don't know. How about you guys? Has anybody ever been there? Had an experience? Would love to fucking hear about it. So definitely throw that down below.
Yeah, I want to go back now that I've looked at the stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was only a couple of years, and I wouldn't mind going back. Like, it was a cool spot. It was a cool little town.
Yeah, I'd like to go too. Yeah. It was only I had no control of like what I was doing both times when I went there.
Yeah, right,
so now I could do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, being able to do whatever you want is sweet. But yeah. Gettysburg is awesome. Hershey, Pennsylvania, is awesome as well.
I've heard that
are those too. Near each other at all?
Kind of. Like it's kind of close. So, Harrisburg, though, shithole. Don't go to fucking Harrisburg. Harrisburg is a fucking pile of shit. I don't know why it seems like every capital city of every state is like a shithole for some reason.
Why the hell is it the capital?
Philadelphia?
Yeah. I mean, that used to be the nation's capital.
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't it be the state's capital?
Yeah, I don't know. It just got super demoted. So.
I guess just because it's in the central Pennsylvania,
I guess, but
like closer to the edge.
I don't know, dude. You should have just made it Hershey. Like, you should just put like all that stuff in Hershey. But yeah, so if you guys have been there, you know, like I said, walked around the battlefield, had an experience, definitely let us know. And until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Peace out.
Peace. Bye.